Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday, and welcome to the Bitcoin Veteran Spaces, episode 117. I am your host, Coleman, and I want to say thank you for everybody tuning in this morning. I hope you had a fantastic weekend. I hope you had a fantastic Monday. If anybody stayed up late during the Super Bowl and watched it, hopefully you got over that hump and were able to get over everything. But yeah, today is going to be a great show. We are going to just cover some current events, go over some things that are trending, get some discussions. Reminder that we do have that chat box open on the bottom right. So feel free to go ahead and put your questions in there or just say hello. And if you'd like to come up here and you're not stage frightened, go ahead and request to speak and we'll get you up here and we'll answer any questions that you have. So anything goes for today's space. If you're a newbie and want to get some basic questions asked and answered, feel free to come on up. Or again, if you're shy, just use that comment box. But I am really looking forward to talking with everybody today. And Bob, it looks like it's just you and me this morning. So good morning, sir. How have you been?
Good morning, Coleman. Good morning, everybody. It's, I guess, going to get a little bit chilly in Texas again. So we get to enjoy that if you're in the Texas area. But yeah, I'm excited. I think there's a lot of good stuff going on and look forward to discussing that with everybody this morning. And like Coleman said, if you're interested in coming up, yeah, send us a request. We'd love to get to meet you and chat with you, riff with you.
Yeah, definitely. Don't be scared. We, if you've heard us long enough, you understand that we're pretty easygoing and, half the time we don't even make sense. So don't be scared. I want to say again, thank you so much, Bob, for getting Lee on the show. I really enjoyed that conversation. I can't believe how quick, yesterday's space went by. I did message him again after the show and he said he'd be more than happy to come back on anytime. So I definitely want to take advantage of that and get him back on. I enjoyed it. And everything he's doing with the Texas Blockchain Council. So thank you again, Bob, for getting that.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a great guy. Very well polished. You can tell he works with politicians every day and stakeholders in the Bitcoin space. And so when he presents, usually, you know, especially in person, it's pretty good. One thing we didn't touch on is they do have an annual conference. And not that we need to go into that, but I've had the opportunity to speak at that. And there's a lot of good content. I think, you know, one of the issues that we didn't bring up with Lee is that, you know, it is named the Blockchain Council. But I think that's just a regional thing with all of these blockchain councils to try to get, more reach and maybe try to unite other areas. And, you know, I know we're a Bitcoin space. And so I think it's important that we, continue to focus on that. But they do a lot of good and Lee's a great guy. So, yeah, appreciate that we could have him on and, yeah, hope to get some updates from him in the future. I think there's some great things coming.
Yeah. And I think the blockchain is just to be more inclusive to everybody. Like you said, Bob, speaking with him yesterday, that was the first time I've ever spoken with him. But he doesn't seem like he shitcoins at all. Very just laser focused. And so, yeah, it was awesome. So I do want to just say good morning to some of the listeners out there. Miss Penny and Death and Bitcoin, good morning, ladies. We have L up there, good morning, ma'am. Dr. Nick, Jordan, IT Odie, good morning, good morning. Let's see, who else do we have? We have Phazen, we have Pedro, Chivas, Z-Mac, Keith, so good morning. And then we also have Texas Toast, AC, Way the Bitcoin Alaska handle, and Shane. Good morning, Shane. I invited you to come up here if you're able to talk, Shane. We're going to cover a little bit of the U.S. aid again today. So if you want to give some of your thoughts or if you want to just save that for tonight's space.
Don't forget to say good morning to Coleman's dogs. He said the magic word blockchain, and they got angry and started howling.
I hope that wasn't too loud. There must be somebody walking behind the house, and that's what they're seeing.
Nice.
Yeah, well, let's go ahead and start diving into it. Bob, I'll throw a couple topics out, and then you just tell me where you want to start. You want to talk about UT of Austin putting their endowment, $5 million into Bitcoin. Talk about MicroStrategy, new purchase, almost at 500K. New rebrand, or you want to talk about what's going on in the gold market?
Yeah, we can cover any of those things. I was actually, maybe we should start out with gold. I was on a space last night just kind of listening in to Peter Schiff crying about how great gold is and how Bitcoin hitting 100,000 means absolutely nothing. And so I like to listen to differing viewpoints and all of his guests who come up and brown nose and tell him how great he is. Obviously he's been doing this for a long time and he hasn't been wrong on a lot of things, but Bitcoin is one of them. And so yeah, maybe we can talk about gold. Is there a particular topic that you wanted to dive into, or is it just like the price action and what's going on?
Yeah, the price action, what's going on with the COMEX vault, the rush or the demand to actually have physical instead of paper. And I think it's important. I saw that Peter Schiff space last night. I think it's important to make sure everyone understands the name of it. Bitcoin at 100K is nothing. That 3K is everything. So it kind of tells you how disillusioned Schiff is. And don't get me wrong. I do think gold does have a role to play in this. I am 100% Bitcoin maxi. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think the entire world is there yet. And I think the action and the price action and the demand for physical and gold is a very telling sign of things are about to come. So Bob, if you want to go, I'd rather listen to you than listen to myself.
Yeah, I mean, I just have a couple of thoughts. You know, again, I think Peter Schiff is correct in some things, right? He does see the world very similarly to the way a lot of Bitcoiners see the world, with basically runaway sovereign debt, with the biggest one being the United States. And, you know, just the fact that we're going to have to print our way out of this, right? There's going to be more fiat currencies created, and, that is going to bode well for non-sovereign assets like gold and especially Bitcoin. And so I think sometimes we as Bitcoiners tend to focus a little bit too much on, Peter Schiff's hatred for Bitcoin. But I do think he has some good things to say. And the reason I like to listen to him is, again, to hear some differing viewpoints, but also to get another view from someone who's senior to me, at least, and has been doing this for a long time. I like to hear the points of the gold bugs because I do think it translates pretty well to our case for why Bitcoin is going to be the best, well, is the best money, and why a lot of things are going to flow into Bitcoin. People are going to divest of other assets that are much more problematic for a variety of reasons. So, you know, some of Peter's points are well taken. And I think, you know, we shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater, I guess. There's some really good insights that he has. And I think there's some interesting thought experiments that you could go through too, that I think he provides pretty good answers to. One of them that I was kind of keying in on last night was just the fact that the United States has massive gold reserves. And the thought experiment is, you know, could the U.S. Mark up the gold that they have in reserve and essentially wipe out the debt? And essentially what that would be is, if you think about it, a default on the debt. And he actually was all for that. Obviously that pumps his gold bags pretty hard. But he also said that it's not really possible. So he's kind of speaking out of both ends of his mouth. And I don't want to put words into his mouth either, but that's kind of what I took away from it. It really isn't a possibility, because you would basically completely destroy the dollar and the market for dollars around the world if you defaulted on the debt in that manner.
Yeah, it, essentially it would be a debt jubilee. It would just be zeroing everything out, revaluing assets, and then just kind of starting anew. And man, I really don't know what to make of it. And I will agree with you, Bob. I think it is good to listen to other perspectives, especially coming from the gold bugs, because we do see eye to eye on almost everything except, the difference between Bitcoin and gold. But sound money, we all see the same issues arising. But the way that we go from this, I'm not entirely sure. With Trump's comments on Air Force One on Sunday, where he stated, you know, maybe we have less debt than we thought. He started questioning whether there was fraud related to U.S. Treasuries. I don't know if that was just a one-off comment that he makes sometimes, or if he was serious with this. But just the fact that he stated that out to the reporters is very, I don't know how to spin that. And I tried to get, Lee brought it up on the space yesterday, and I tried to get his thought, and he was the same way. He doesn't understand what's going on. The treasuries, you know, they're going up a little bit, nothing too crazy, back at about 4.73 for the 30, 4.5 for the 10. So they're not moving a whole bunch on that news. But it's just so weird that he would say that. And then with the demand on gold and everyone wanting physical, I do think that there's something big going on behind the scenes, and in the, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, it'll all become, it'll come to light, but I just can't figure out what exactly it is.
So Coleman, I think, you know, the case could be made, and I'm not trying to predict the future or trying to tell you what's going on. I think maybe the case could be made that, we'll start seeing kind of the U.S. take more of a backseat on some of these things. Obviously, you know, with us pulling some of our funding that has been irresponsible and wasteful and sometimes fraudulent to the rest of the world, I think there's obviously, in my mind, this trend of more regionality, if you want to call it that. So I think where we're not putting our fingers into everybody else's business, and, you know, where we want to, and again, I'm just looking at the news and what's going on in the news cycle, and what Trump said and the administration has said, it really looks to me like, you know, whether people think Trump is trying to take over Greenland and Canada or not, I really think that we're moving towards this regional power system where the U.S. focus is more inward and our close, geographic and strategically geographic, allies. And so building up Greenland, getting access to some of their, some of their resources, Canada, obviously Mexico, you know, a lot of people might take it as, oh, he's putting tariffs on them and it looks like an attack, but, you could also argue that, he's really focusing more on building up our region and forcing our, close allies geographically to, work together with us and help. And, you know, the same thing goes for the Panama Canal. So you can see where, you know, you kind of have BRICS going on. And, if you consider, you know, our strength in the world as the global superpower, we haven't really done a great job with that, in my opinion. I think we've basically tried to dominate in areas that we don't need to be. And so I think this is what you're seeing. You're seeing a pullback from, again, us having our fingers into everything. And what's going to be interesting is how people regionalize. So, like, where does Europe go? Does Europe continue to work closely with the United States, or do they shift over to BRICS? And so I think there's some dangers in this, but, you know, I think one thing is clear. Americans voted in a way that would allow Trump to and his administration to go and start pulling out of some of these, again, probably some important things, but also I think we see the bulk of it, at least if you pay attention to what they've uncovered so far, has been, in most people's opinions, wasteful. And that's all in light of, obviously, the catastrophes we've had, right, in North Carolina and California, the wildfires, like all of that, and then seeing like how wasteful we've been. So there's a lot of things there. Yeah, I'll kick it back to you if you have any comments on my big ramble there.
No, I think you're spot on. So while you're speaking, I was trying to pull out and see, like, how does all of this, why is this causing just such a surge in the gold demand? And can't figure it out. Trump trying to look more innerly shouldn't affect people wanting to have physical gold. So there's something else that must be going on that we're seeing, whether it's this U.S. aid, like people just finding the amount of fraud going on and that's causing them. But I still don't think that's it. There's something else going on and we just can't figure it out yet. And it's driving me crazy. And it's sure it's just completely obvious that we're just overlooking. And so I can't wrap my head around it. I can't figure it out. And, it's a little frustrating for me.
I don't get it. I think what's maybe something interesting that people will, at least listeners will find interesting, I've been kind of digging into is, the USAID stuff is really just the tip of the iceberg. It seems that, you know, a lot of these NGOs, that have been created, seem to, and I see Yomar down there. It'd be great to get him up here if he's able. But I think that there's some other, dominoes that are going to fall. Like they're really trying to uncover all this waste and fraud and abuse. And one of the, I've kind of caught wind just from some of my connections. One of the organizations that they're going to try to dig into is this National Endowment for Democracy, which is actually far larger and has a greater reach than USAID. And so, you know, it's entities like that, that I'll be curious to see, you know, some of the more of the reports of how crazy wasteful and fraudulent some of these organizations are and have been.
You're absolutely right. The amount of fraud and corruption going on, and I agree with everything you said. It's just the tip of the iceberg. How much more are they going to discover? I tried getting some of the talking points with this, and I know Shane and Mike are going to really dive into this on tonight's video podcast. We have a new time for that. It's at 9 p.m. Eastern time. You're not going to want to miss this one. It's going to be good. But just the amount of money that they were using to promote their agenda. There was, they used taxpayer money to send Hollywood celebrities to Ukraine. Angelina Jolie got $20 million to go there. Sean Penn got $5 million. Orlando Bloom, $8 million. Out of the $44 billion they had funding in 2023, USAID, $16 billion of that went to Ukraine alone, and 90% of Ukraine media is funded by USAID or AID. And then on Sunday night, it became apparent that the Social Security Administration was sending regular payments every 3 to 4 days of $180,000 to $225,000, in the form of grants to, corporations in Ukraine. So again, we're only at the tip of the iceberg and how much more of this are we going to find? And I know Elon was posting, he wanted to get Ron Paul to go in and audit the Fed. And I hope they see that through. That would be the best thing. You know, he's been chairing or trying to get that done forever. And that would be the best way to go, kind of bookend his career or his life achievements would be allow him to go in there and audit and just show how much more corruption is going on. But it's absolutely crazy. It's coming at us so quick. I don't think we're really able to digest it and take in everything. It's unbelievable.
And I think that's a great tactic, right? For the Trump administration, who's been attacked every which way, for the last 8 years plus, really 10 years. but I think that, it is coming at us quite quickly, but I think that Trump is really showing that he was doing the work actually ahead of time. Like he had already been in there and then had 4 years to kind of think about this and to view and see what was going on. And so, I don't know, it kind of makes me proud, not just like, for Trump, but just like as an American to see, a politician actually doing work ahead of, his administration, right? Cause he was elected and this stuff doesn't happen in the first 3 weeks without, some intensive planning, and strategy, you know, between the election and when he actually took office officially on January 20th. So kind of makes me proud, like to see somebody actually, not just carrying through on a lot of the promises so far, but also, that there was some thought out pre-work to this administration. And so, it is kind of scary though at the speed at which, this is coming through. But, you know, on the other side of it, if you see, you know, which I think we are seeing that a lot of the media has been propped up by, the government and they provide not a lot of value and probably would be insolvent without the funding from the government, then it really, you know, should be called propaganda. And so then, you know, how would you combat that? Obviously, in order to defund that, you have to, that's going to take some time, but then to be able to kind of keep them, so they can't create a narrative, you got to throw a lot at them at once, right? It's like just pummel them with information, pummel them with all this news, and they can't really create too much of a narrative because there's just too many things happening. And the same thing goes for us, right? Like as digesters of the news, we're also having a lot thrown at us. And so we kind of feel discombobulated, but I think that's on purpose. Like I think that's a really good thing because it's not allowing the propaganda talking heads to create this narrative that they sit on and talk about these little issues and permeate these ideas into Americans' heads and maybe, you know, around the world. They don't have the time to do that because there's just too many new things all the time that are being upended and changed. And I don't know, man, I don't know about you or anybody else, but I'm here for it.
It's making for interesting reads. That's for sure. And they're having a hard time digesting it. You can see all of them. Just trying to come to terms with what's going on and make any kind of excuse. I think I said it last week. They're just trying to throw any narrative they can at the wall to see which one's going to stick so they can kind of attack, this play from that angle. But I'm sure everyone's seen this clip. I'll see if I can find it here in a minute, but it's the one where they have all the little independent news agencies and all the big ones and they just show the same headline for that week or that month, and all of the anchors in unison are saying the exact same thing in unison. And again, this just shows why they do that, because they were being paid. And this is, hey, if your employer is telling you you gotta do an agenda and you have to do this, at the end of the day, you don't have a choice. They're paying you to do this, and so it's crazy. And I am glad that they're bringing it to light. And who knows what's going to happen by Friday. It's just unbelievable.
It really makes you think when you see videos, like the montage videos like you're talking about, and hopefully most people have seen that, but it really makes you think like how the same exact words, the same exact terminology are used. It's almost like, you know, it's spooky because of how granular it is. And so, you know, is that coming from a centralized source? It certainly seems like it to me. And I think that's, you know, uncovering that for more and more people. Like, I don't know again about anybody else in the audience or you, Coleman, but I have seen people waking up. Like, I don't think that they were fully awake when they, were, voting for Trump. I think he, you know, sparked something in people, but I think now that all of these things are being uncovered, like there are conversations going on, where people are like starting to dig into some of these things a little bit deeper. And, you know, you start pulling back the curtain on a little bit of this and people, get emotional, right? Enraged. You know, we've heard Shane say, he's considering not, filing taxes, And maybe you've changed your stance on that, Shane. Maybe you can share with us either on here or tonight. But, you know, a lot of people don't want to pay into a system, rightfully so, where their dollars are getting used in such manners. And, you know, it's just all this irresponsible fraud and waste. I was talking to my father-in-law, who is not a Bitcoiner, but I've been talking to him about it for a decade. And he, you know, kind of thinks I'm crazy, like every time I talk to him about it. And, I think he's starting to wake up, just talking to him about all of this fraud. And I said to him the other day, I said, hey, you know, can you just consider that every dollar conceivably that you and I have ever paid in for income taxes has basically gone wasted, whether it's interest on the debt or it's, you know, some of these irresponsible things that we see coming out that, you know, that we're shutting down, like every single dollar and probably your entire little 4,000 person town, every person's income tax that they paid throughout their career has gone completely to waste. And so what do you think about that? And so, you know, for him, it's just kind of a shocking revelation. And like, he didn't really have a good answer. I think he was like, well, you're kind of sensationalizing it in his head, right? But at the same time, like, these are things that we need to be asking people the questions on, like, take it a little bit further, take this news and give them thought experiments so that they can digest this in a way where it brings them to the point where they're saying, hey, maybe if this is what's going on, maybe there's something else. Maybe there's other things. And then it's very easy to take them down the path of the money. Or maybe if you've been talking to somebody about the money and how it's broken, now it's easier to say, see, this is why I've been telling you about Bitcoin this entire time. Like, maybe they can see it through a new lens. So I'll land my plane there. I see we have Shane up here. Yomar, would love to hear other people's thoughts.
Go for it, Shane. I'm glad you're up here this morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Coleman, Yomar, Bob, everybody out there in the audience. Thanks for being here. Yeah, you know, we keep kind of coming back and this thing comes full circle all the time. And, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, the outright people because I don't want to get our space, you know, banned or throttled or any of that kind of stuff. But, you know, we see it. And I think you're right, Bob. I think people are waking up, man. It's like, and I see it more and more every day, even on X. You know, I complain about, you know, free speech on here all the time, but it's one of those things where, it's more than most, and you're starting to see, like, even the boomers, not all of them, but a lot of them are waking up. I mean, you've got, you know, Colonel Douglas McGregor out there who's been saying some really, really interesting things. He's, you know, he's got his hand on the pulse of a lot, but we look at this as Bitcoiners, and our fight has, you know, always been for better money. In opposition to that, or juxtaposed that with this, you know, trash counterfeit fiat, that just breeds bad incentive and bad culture. When we look at, you know, what you can do with unlimited funds and unlimited money and unlimited, you know, people that you can buy who are actors and politicians, you know, and, you know, thinking about how do you, you know, operate these people, you know, and it seems pretty obvious, I think, to most people these days is, you know, you look at the Epsteins and the Diddys and the Oprahs and the rest of these people who are out there, you know, running these different organizations, and the fact that you've got the same people who are running porn sites that are literally free, which means you're the product, you start to understand how you can get your hands on people who are absolutely ambitious enough and narcissistic enough and perverted enough to run for a very highly coveted position, such as representative, senator, and if you can control the people that are congressmen, then you control the people who get put into bureaucracies, and it just downhill from there. Who controls 96% of the media? It's all the same. And the fact that, you know, as war fighters, a lot of us, right? I mean, a lot of us have seen a lot of war and a lot of death. And when you start to put on these, you know, these glasses and start to understand, like, you know, America didn't benefit from being in the Middle East. We don't benefit from being in Ukraine. We don't benefit from any of these things. Who benefits? there's one country over there that benefits from the U.S. being in that region fighting their enemies. And it's definitely, you know, the people, everybody that we know who it is. So when you start to, you know, use this conglomeration and start to see it, this is all part of Operation Gladio. And if you haven't poured into Operation Gladio, I think we'll probably be covering quite a bit of it tonight. This is why Bitcoin is so damn important. You guys mentioned Peter Schiff earlier today, you know, and I think there is a place for gold. I think there's going to be a, you know, this continuum where we're settling, you know, Bitcoin, maybe at the local level, especially with, you know, some people maybe in gold, but gold, you know, is eventually going to go to zero. And I think Peter Schiff is just one of those guys that has so much interest in it because he's, you know, so deep in it. But at the same time, you know, this is the root of our issues in the world right now. And it's so amazing to watch this awakening happen. You know, as people become awake to the problem, then they start looking for solutions. And I think that's where, you know, Bitcoin and Bitcoin veterans really, you know, sits and has a great vantage point and something that a lot of people don't have. And that's experience, right? Like, this is personal to a lot of us. A lot of us lost friends. A lot of us lost, you know, guys we consider brothers, all fighting under lies for people who don't actually really like us, but will use us as a force to fight their enemies. And, you know, once you start to understand that, that amount of ire and just absolute hate and discontent that has been misdirected, that has now been patient, that is waiting and being patient, you know, in this discovery process, boy, you know, there's a lot of hope in the world right now in terms of doing this as peacefully as possible, but yet having that revolution, having that revelation even. And I think this is that big. I think this is biblical. I think this is good versus evil. I think this is, you know, sound money versus, you know, counterfeit money, is lies versus truth. It is everything that I think we're talking about, but I don't think it ends. I think this is just the revelation to light, better incentive and people being freer. So I'm here for it. And I tell you what, you know, I hate it that it's become so blindingly obvious and so simple that you got to come back to it. But, you know, every time you turn around, you start to uncover something and you go, yep, no shit. Like, that's why we're here. That's what we're doing. That's why we're wasting money. That's why there's, you know, fraudulent, you know, just abound in our own government. And it's at the edict of people who don't have our best interest at heart.
Yeah. And so that was perfect, Shane. And I'll sum my thoughts up really quick. Is I think this is the next COVID thing, right? During COVID, the veil was lifted for a lot of people. And then I think that veil was lifted again in July when they did the assassination attempt on Trump. And I think right now you're getting that veil lifted again. And so the good news about this is that the waves or the frequency that the veil is getting, you know, pulled down is becoming more frequent. It's happening faster and faster, which is a good thing. It means that more people are finally realizing it. And eventually it's just going to have enough momentum where it's just everybody's going to see what's going on. I think this is a good thing. I think, again, it's going to take a couple more of these shocking headlines to kind of get everybody on board. But I think at this point, the momentum's in our favor and it's going to happen sooner than later.
I think it's important to note too, like with the dismantling of USAID and all the other things going on, either through mental retardation or design, like the US empire is collapsing, right? Like the political grenades that we're throwing all over the place via Trump are going to end up the same way, I think, regardless. Like the relationships we're destroying in the Middle East are going to make it really hard for us to project power there. You know, we, with the 1-2 punch of us saying like we're going to take Gaza and then Israel saying that Saudi Arabia should give up their land for Palestinians, while they're also talking, they're threatening Jordan, who faces an existential crisis because of like the water scarcity there. they can't take in more people. They have a ton of Palestinians there already as refugees. You know, what I was reading, they just can't, like, their infrastructure can't support more people. And then Egypt, you know, their corrupt government is peaceful with, with Israel, but like the people aren't, right? Like the people are still, you know, aligned with the Palestinian cause. So like, you know, we're throwing these grenades over there. And again, I don't know if it's by design, like if this is like the negotiating tactic for us to withdraw from the world, or if he's just this stupid and that's going to be the result anyway. I hope it's the, you know, I hope it's by design, because that means that we're going to, you know, have the quote soft landing. But if we just haphazardly push through all this stuff, the empire is going to collapse. It's going to collapse in on the country. You know, I really think we're shifting towards a regional thing. So I still feel like, or maybe it's just more hope at this point that it's by design. And, you know, we're just, trying to nuke all these relationships so we could throw up our hands and say, oh, well, we tried, and then, you know, withdraw back into the United States. But I think the path is going to be the same. And, you know, the dollar dying is part of that, right? The world isn't going to continue to use the dollar. They're not going to continue to, it's easier to accept the dollar as like the world currency and the stipulations that come with it when there's some moral backing for it. But we've destroyed that. And, you know, the world, especially like the quote global South, is going to be tired of like what we're forcing them to do. And you know, we see like the retaliations, all the talking heads talking about the Boers in South Africa. They don't give a shit about them. I mean, Elon Musk might, because he's probably one of them, but it's really just political pressure because of like the actions that they have in the ICJ against Israel. Like, it's all serving the same thing. And like, I don't know, it seems suspicious to me that like, as they're, maybe it's a little tinfoil hatty, but as they're facing like some real challenges in the Middle East, you know, we trigger a war that clears out their original homeland of, you know, a million plus people. I don't know. It seems kind of, crazy to me. Hopefully that's not like the intent there, but, I don't know. It seems, when you connect all these dots and like who's pushing these wars and why they would do it, you know, it's definitely something to keep an eye on there.
And so there was a comment. So thank you for that, Omar. There was a comment in there. About what about bird flu and everyone trying to kill the livestock and bees? There is, there's going to be pushback. They're going to use every means at their disposal to go ahead and slow down this unveiling and try and right the ship back into their favor. So this new bird flu strain that's coming out, any new narratives you see, this is just another way for them to try and get back in control and make sure that their plans, quote unquote, are the successful ones. So don't buy into it. Again, this is all the more important to build up your local community. We talk about this, like, this is our goal. The mission of the Bitcoin veterans is to go out there and we're going to change the world. We can't do that if we start at the nation state level. We accomplish this goal by going out there with our neighbors, with our local communities, your local farmers. Go out there, know the local farmers in your area, get them to start accepting Bitcoin, show them the way, or at the very least, purchase your meat, purchase your eggs through them. I guarantee it's going to be healthier than the crap you get at the grocery store. And then it doesn't matter what the government's trying to do. If it's a local farmer that they're not going to have to, you know, kill their entire flock because Tyson told them to, because it's part of the bird flu. This is how we make sure that this movement continues on. And it's, if we all do it at our local level, that's how we make nation state adoption and nation state changes. I do want to take a quick second to thank our partners, Black Sheep Ammo. Restock your ammo at blacksheepammo.com. Punch Plate, guys and girls, if you have your seed phrase on a piece of paper, you're doing this wrong. Go to Punch Plate, stamp your seed phrase on a metal plate. Go to punchplate.com. Paladin Tower Tactics.
Man, I love Paladin Tower Tactics too. That is awesome. That, I mean, you can't time that any better.
Almost as much as Coleman's dog.
There's a pretty good storm going through here right now. And for some reason, he likes to bark to let us know that thunder just took place. But Paladin I can thing. Paladin Thunder Tactics, Paladin Tower Tactics, professional firearms and tactical training, paladintowertactics.com. Sorry, Scott. And Solo Satoshi, open source Bitcoin mining, solosatoshi.com. Use our code BTCVETS, 5% off your order. Pay with Bitcoin, peer-to-peer guys and girls. 10% off extra, potential for 15% off your order, solosatoshi.com. Bitcoin Alaska, July 5th and 6th. Y'all, go to this conference. It's going to be amazing. There's going to be a chili cook-off. We've got, I think, three different cooks going to do some cooking. I'm sorry, L, but you're going down. And it's going to be a fun conference. Bring your family, bring your spouse, bring your in-laws, make a trip out of it. Alaska is absolutely gorgeous. It's one of my favorite places to go. I plan on spending as much time up there as I can. Pre-conf activities take place July 1st. Conference wraps up on the 6th. BitcoinAlaska.org. And last but not least, treat your Bitcoin like it's 10 times what it is right now. Make sure that you are using a secure hardware wallet, not a hot wallet. Go to CoinKite. Get a cold card wallet from them, the MK4, the cold card Q. You can't beat that. Right now, we do not have a discount code, but if you need to purchase one, use our link. Once we start getting enough traction with it, we'll have our own unique discount code. You can go ahead and start offering discounts. But if you need to get a new one, go check out that link up in the space right now. Well, gentlemen, did you want to continue down this path? Or did you want to go ahead and start switching topics a little bit?
I just wanted to ask Yomar, if you don't mind. I think it lines up, but just curious your thoughts. I don't know if you heard my comments on this move towards more regionalization for world powers.
I didn't hear your comments. I think I might have joined after. But I mean, I think that's what we're moving towards, you know. If we look at what Trump's been talking about, you know, the focus on Panama, on Greenland, on Canada, that's all our hemisphere, right? Like that's our backyard, as they say. So I really think that's the shift. And that is kind of what gives me some hope for what's going on in the Middle East, like despite his talking points. Like two things, like what he's saying in the Middle East is so doomed to fail that like I hope there's at least somebody with half a brain cell functioning that can tell him that much. Because it's plain as day, you know, like Israel tried with their entire might of their military and air force or whatever, and their literal country's a few miles away. For the U.S. to get over there and project force to try to occupy and force people out of there, it's going to be exponentially more expensive and difficult for us to do. And once we get into a direct action like that, you know, we're going to open ourselves up to direct attacks from all the regional actors. That's the Hezbollah, the Iraqi militias, Yemen, and potentially even Iran. So it's not a path we want to go down. And especially like as we destroy our relationships with our so-called allies there in Jordan, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia. So I think we are shifting. And like I said, that was my comment before, like whether through mental retardation or design, you know, we're kind of withdrawing from that region. I think the end result will be that we don't have the influence there to enact much policy. Especially if we keep on this path that we're on now. You know, we can do it in a way that we still have like friends there, or we can go on this like, you know, heavy-handed, you know, big stick, method, which I think is going to fail worse for us. I think the end result is just going to be regional, hegemons though. You know, I've mentioned this in other articles. I think the U.S. will obviously be here. I think Europe will be, you know, contention between, the Eurozone nations and Russia and maybe Turkey a little bit. Turkey, Iran, and the Saudis will compete over the Middle East. And then, you know, China and maybe India. China will probably bump up against like India and, maybe Japan, but I don't know what Japan can really do. But I don't think it's going to like be militaristic. It's just going to be spheres of influence where they're going to have, a lot more influence and, you know, it'll just take away. I think that will also be like the end of the dollar, right? Like we won't have this global, control over the economies and stuff, and they'll move to something neutral, which I think will be Bitcoin, just because it takes the power out of any one nation's hands and it makes it more like fairly distributed. And a lot of the power players, they are like energy rich, and they'll be able to use you know, mining to their favor. So I think that's the route that we're on, and like how we act and how we handle things depends on the speed that we get to that like end situation.
In the Middle East, it especially makes sense, you know, if you consider oil being a currency and how we've protected our interests as it relates to both the dollar and oil. But, you know, as you're kind of alluding to, this whole idea of drill, baby, drill moves a lot of the production, you know, onshore, which then allows us to kind of move away from the Middle East in some respects. I agree with you. I think we'll still have friends over there, but hopefully we're not, you know, putting our fingers into everything and creating, you know, reproductions of Sesame Street in Iraq when most people don't even have televisions.
The amount of
That's all just bribery screams that come out of funny money, you know, like that'll dry up, and we'll, if we don't have the dollar as the reserve currency, like we just physically, we can't do all the stuff that we're doing. And that's what I think, you know, when you stack up everything that's been talked about, like it really seems like we can see that at least on the horizon. And, you know, we're trying to prepare people for that. And like I've made this argument before, but like you're not going to come in charge of the United States and say, oh, well, like our empire is ending, so we have to like focus on the near shore stuff. You're going to say like, oh, we're so strong and great that we're going to take over this, and we're going to do that. We're going to do this. And then if you can't like politically, and you know, this is kind of, maybe this is overly hopeful, but you know, to withdraw from the Middle East and stuff, it'd be like politically a nightmare. But if you just throw like political grenades in there that just destroy every relationship and necessitate our withdrawal, you know, you end up in that same spot. So, that's kind of like my thought process on it. Coleman, I'm sorry, I kind of cut you off there.
No, you're good. I was just saying that just the amount of fraud is just, again, after about the whole Sesame Street thing, again, it's just the absolute waste. It's just, it's horrendous. It needs to get cleaned up, and it looks like it's getting cleaned up. And so
there's tons more to go after. Like I'm sure USAID is a lot of fraud, but like, there's just so much out there. It's crazy. I mean, just look at the budget. How much of our budget is actually, our federal budget is actually needed? It's probably a tiny portion of it. And, you know, things like the VA, like when they created the VA, it was because they wanted to be able to track, like veteran health issues, right? Like that's a fucking database. You can get rid of the entire VA and just put a database, and you can, you know, have some nerd out there doing SQL queries to look for some correlations and whatnot. You don't need this giant shitty organization. You know, and there's so many different ways that like they could streamline stuff. So, you know, as much as I criticize everything going on like foreign policy wise, I think domestic policy, we're on the right track. And if anything, we just need to lean into it more and, you know, start slashing more agencies. I don't think we've gotten rid of any alphabet agencies yet, so I'm waiting for those to come. I would love to see like the DEA or the ATF go away. So hopefully something soon.
Yeah, and I think you missed it, Yomar. We said that the USAID, was just the tip. It's so minuscule, their budget and all the fraud that's happening within it. Like it's going to be eye opening when we start digging into the bigger ones. If we want to fix the VA, the easiest fix, it'll take no time whatsoever, have veterans go choose the hospital of their choosing. Like again, everything covered. A lot of these centers are so far for veterans, and we're paying them anyways to go ahead and travel to and from. They're getting reimbursements for mileage. Just let them go to their local physician, whatever is there, and just have it kind of like a Medicaid thing, but it's 100% or it's universally accepted. You'll get better coverage. It'll be faster turnaround times. There's no waiting. And I don't think anyone will disagree, if you've ever spent any time at the VA, it's going to be better healthcare. So I would, if Elon wants to go ahead and cut waste, that's the easy. It's a stroke of a pen. Turn all the existing facilities, redo them, revamp them, get them updated, but just allow veterans to choose whatever's closest to them. End of discussion.
Yeah, 100%. And if you want to force their hand, just put all politicians on the same healthcare as the veterans, and they'll find really creative ways really fast to fix everything that's wrong with it.
It should be. Honestly, they should be under the same, they're a government employee, right? So why don't they get the same healthcare? It should be the exact same. This way you're guaranteed veterans get good healthcare. Let's do it. That'll be our platform. We got about 5-8 minutes left. Do y'all want to talk about MicroStrategy with a rebrand going through and changing it? Got rid of the micro, went to Strategy B. How they're almost at 500,000 Bitcoin, 478,740. I think they get to it before the end of March, especially with some of these bonds that they're trying to release. I do want to spend a little time though talking about the name rebrand. I think this is a bridge. I think that they're transitioning from a tech company into a Bitcoin bank. I've had this thought. I've probably sit on here on the space. But I think that that's going to be their end goal, is to become a Bitcoin bank. And I think when looking at their logo, especially with that B at the end of it, it'd be really easy to transition from Strategy B to Strategy Bank. And so I think that's their play here. You know, any thoughts on that?
I'm a little surprised, to be honest. I know that MicroStrategy actually had created a separate entity at one point over the last 4 years called MacroStrategy. And so I always thought that that would be the shift. So a little bit surprised. I do think, you know, there's a lot of, folks who think that they could go to, you know, Strategy Bank, would certainly be interesting and probably make sense. But I think right now it does make sense for what they're doing, because they're just trying to really encourage other corporates to adopt. And so Strategy Bitcoin is really, I think, a play for that, right? To show people, hey, we're the leader. You should be doing this too. We have all the resources and tools for you to do it. In fact, we run a conference all about it, and everybody's welcome. And obviously we're killing it, and you should be doing this too.
But that's a short-term play though, right? If they were just going to go ahead and try and orange pill companies, that's only a 5 to 10 year game plan. Is eventually everybody's going to incorporate the strategy, and they won't really have relevance anymore. So I'm not saying that they wouldn't do that. I just think long term, I see becoming a Bitcoin bank as being the next step for them, coming in, just being a leader in that. And I think if you listen to Saylor and the way that he's spoken on a couple of his interviews and podcasts, it seems like that aligns a little bit. And I think that's his end goal. But that's just, I could be 100% wrong with that, but I think it's just crazy. And it astounds me every week. He took last week off, but just the amount of Bitcoin that they're purchasing every single week, thousands and thousands of Bitcoin. I saw an article that was floating around this morning where it was showing the Binance Bitcoin reserve, like the amount of Bitcoin that the exchange has to sell is at a record low. There was only a couple thousand coins. I couldn't get anything to verify it, so I don't want to spend too much time on it in case it's just FUD. But I do think we're getting a lot closer to having some kind of supply crunch with the institutions buying, the ETFs buying, nation states buying. There's going to be some kind of crunch where there's just not enough coin on traditional exchanges to purchase. So make sure that you plan accordingly. I wouldn't leave your coins on your exchange. Get a hardware wallet.
Yeah, I think it's always a good reminder, especially on shows like these. Get your Bitcoin off of an exchange. I realize it could be a daunting task and scary at first, but Bitcoin Veterans has some great resources. Just a reminder, bitcoinveterans.org, and go and plug in your information. We'll get you plugged in with people who can help and that you can trust. They're not going to steer you wrong. And, it's a good resource for everybody.
100%. And again, if you have questions about exchanges, questions about your miner, your wallet, I'm telling you, it's going to be quicker to go in through one of our chats and talk to one of us. And it will be to go through any of the customer support desks or options on any exchanges. Again, I had an issue with my miner yesterday, my Bitax, and went in and it was just, the guys were just instantaneously answering questions and got me hooked right back up. So, again, take advantage of it. You don't have to be a veteran to join this. Again, we are Bitcoin veterans. There's just because we created a group on, or a messaging system on X, and there was just all these veterans just kind of had the same value and they were like, wow, this is huge. So we need to start something with it. That's really how this became. And so again, you don't have to be a veteran to join. We do have non-veteran, chats, and we're always happy to help everybody. So like Bob said, bitcoinveterans.org, get out there and reach out. And that's how we're going to make this change lasting. But we're getting to the top. So I'm going to go ahead and just kind of ask Eomar, did you have anything else you'd like to cover today, sir, or Bob?
Just real quick, just know that like, you know, with the, a lot of like the U.S. like corporate press is pushing like, oh, like Hamas is withdrawing from the ceasefire deal. Just want to point out the fact that like Israel has never honored the ceasefire deal. They haven't been allowing in the supplies that were, dictated there, and they've continued killing Palestinians, throughout the ceasefire. It's the same thing with, their so-called ceasefire with Lebanon. They've honored that one even less with like ongoing aggression there. So, you know, despite what the corporate press will continue to tell you for their, benefactors there, you know, the people breaching it are the ones that, you know, continuously, drag us and others into war. So, you know, just be skeptical of what you're reading out there.
Bob, did you have anything you'd like to add, sir?
No, another exciting episode. Hope people got something out of it, made you think a little bit this morning. And, yeah, like Eomar said, I think there's plenty of examples we can point to where we're being misled, and you have to really, start to be a little bit more vigilant if you haven't already, on the news that you hear. Being skeptical is a healthy thing. And, I think too often we've been, dumbed down by our education system, our news media, and, in some cases, just unwittingly, like we don't know. And I think most people have the ability, especially with the internet and the information that's out there. It's not that you should go out and listen to every conspiracy theorist, but there's just two sides of every coin, and you should be making sure you're getting a wide variety of, viewpoints, and then you should critically think based on, you know, what you see actually going on in the world.
I think we have to find a new name for the conspiracy theorists. They're turning to be very accurate in their predictions. So maybe fortune teller. I don't know. We're going to have to think about this. But a lot of the stuff people thought that they were just speculating on are coming to be pretty accurate. So. What a time to be alive. 3 weeks in, 4 weeks into Trump's presidency and all of this going on. So I look forward to the other 3 years, 11 months. It's only going to get better. But thank you everybody who tuned in. It really does mean a lot to me. Thank you for everybody utilizing that chat box in the bottom. Get in there and ask your questions next time. We'll go ahead and answer any and all questions that we can, that box. And thanks for everybody who retweeted the link. We're doing this again tomorrow. We do this every weekday, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Tomorrow we have John Dehaney, the founder of My First Bitcoin, joining us. So tomorrow the 12th, and then on Thursday the 13th, we have Pura Vida Bitcoin from Costa Rica joining. So two great guests from Latin America joining. Really looking forward to this. Hold on, my dogs are a little vocal. And so, make sure you tune in 10 o'clock every weekday, Monday through Friday. Tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern time, new time for the video podcast. We're going to have Shane and Mike, on. Maybe we'll have, Jordan and Gabe, joining as well. But we're going to kind of cover, all the developments that have happened over the last week and do a deep in-depth dive. So we will have the links on Noster and on X so you can watch that stream live. Yomar, Bob, thank you gentlemen for joining me this morning and I hope to see you tomorrow. Everybody else, have a fantastic day, but don't shitcoin. It's like trying to use a bayonet. Cyber warfare.